Hi, I'm Issa Kwonga.
And I'm Ryan Hun.
And we co-host Stadio, a football podcast, on the Ringer Podcast Network.
Twice a week, Musa and I talk about the goings-on in men's and women's football around Europe and sometimes around the world. We like to zoom in, we like to zoom out, we like to make some silly references. So if you like soccer or football, make sure you search for Stadio, a football podcast, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Think we got it?
Yep, that's good.
My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rolling, presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hello, friends, and welcome to this golf podcast unlike any other. Yes, indeed, my friends, this is Fairway Rolling, a major golf podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. We have our final major staring us in the face. I am your starter, Joe House, joined right at this crucial juncture by my incomparable accomplice, our PGA Tour boots on the ground, Nathan Hubbard. Two ball, trying to get you ready here at the last minute for filling out your fantasy lineups, your betting cards, whatever way you'd like to speculate on the outcome of this 151st Open Championship. We are here for you with some final thoughts, my birdie buddies. Two ball pegs are in the ground. Nate Dogg and I are swinging simultaneously. Nate Dogg, avoid the inner out of bounds, but otherwise, how are you doing?
This has been a weirdly quiet open prep week, House. Maybe it's because Rory decided to pass on his press conference. Maybe it's because there have been lots of overt displays of friendliness between LIV and PGA Tour golfers. You're seeing Rahm and Mickelson play around together. You know, you're seeing Rory and Brooks spending a lot of time together. It's been wonderfully drama free. It feels like maybe the most drama is this weather. What's happening with this weather, House?
We can't not include Brooks Koepka walking with captain Zach Johnson,
right?
Also as part of the,
right,
you know, the harmony and peace that's out there. But for
he's
sure
on the team, the let's weather, just be clear, he's on the team, right?
Yeah, he's on the team. Well, why would they keep him off?
1,000,000%
it's the
he's
PGA
on the team
of America. It's not the tour that runs the Ryder Cup, and the PGA of America is not going to exclude its champion, the guy who won their championship at Oak Hill. And, you know, even if Zach Johnson had a very principled basis for making an argument to the contrary, the eyeballs on the television screen is the thing that's most important to the PGA of America. So he's on the Ryder Cup, and that's great. I want to see it. I think you want to see it, right?
100%. We're trying to win.
It's going to be hard. You know, there's a decent chance, by the way, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, I'm going to go play that golf course. I'm going over to Italy in August. I think I'm going to go play the Marco Simone, whatever. I'm just going to invite myself in. I think I'm going to do it. Are you going to stop me?
No, I'm going to encourage you. I'm a little pissed that you're telling me this now. We could have done this together.
You could come to Italy. There's
Fine.
Still time.
All right.
I'm not going for a month.
Warm it up for the boys.
Yeah, so the I think part of why it is quiet as we hustle into the 4:35 a.m. Eastern kickoff time is because the storylines of this championship really have been told. And we went through them in no small part with our good pal Justin Ray on our preview show. And the key determinant in whether this is going to be chaotic or not is the weather. And it just seems like it's going to rain, and it's going to rain sort of each of the days. It doesn't seem like the forecast has any major wind in it,
right,
the way that the Scottish Open,
right,
had super major wind on Sunday. It doesn't seem like we're getting any of that. And so what we're seeing is like confirmatory, validating evidence of our instincts, which is a green golf course. It's as green as it was back in 2014, and it doesn't look anything like the golf course that Tiger Woods played back in 2006. And we have the players confirming that they think that low scores are possible, and we have the players to a man talking about how important it is to avoid the bunkers, right?
Yeah. Well, this entire Open, starting Friday late through whenever it's done, is going to be played in the rain. And these bunkers, I don't know, do these bunkers look harder than the standard? Do these riveted things look harder than the standard Open bunkers? Or are we just running out of shit to talk about? They're always deep and hard to get out of.
I think there has been a nuance that some of the players are sharing. Scottie Scheffler especially compared it to Royal St. George's, I think, in the sense that there's two principal differences. The rivets from the rake mean that the ball can sit down in,
yes,
and be slightly depressed in the rake rivet, and that they are the ball is less likely to find the middle of the bunker, that
right,
they aren't contoured in a manner for the ball to roll away from the face or away from the rear if it,
yep,
enters from the rear. So Scotty was making the point that it's kind of better to miss worse to be at the rear of the bunker than the front of the bunker, because if you roll in from the top, it won't roll down to a middle spot. You'll be right up against
the face of the wall. Yeah.
And he was conveying I don't know what the word is, distress at that aspect of it, right?
Yeah. Well, and we've seen some of the videos of guys trying to hit in and out of them, and it looks like you're going to have very few opportunities to go at the hole if you go in a bunker. So, fine. All right. So that's going to enter into a little more drama. It's going to create even more premium on shot making. It just feels like with the lushness and the soft conditions, guys are going to be going right at the hole. I mean, they're just going to be flag hunting out there. It doesn't, with the wind down, and it looks like maybe we'll get up to 15 miles an hour, call it Saturday, but not more than that. With the wind down, there's just not a lot of defense on this course. And yeah, I mean, look,
it's the bunkers. 81 bunkers and the internal out of bounds on the third hole and the 18th hole, to the extent that that's intimidating.
I mean, whatever. So is this going to be 20 under or better? That's the question. Is this going to be like a score at the Amex?
It would only be it up in that order of magnitude if the, you know, conditions, if the fairways continue to have some role, and that the guys are emboldened to try and carry the bunkers and hit, you know, hit driver. If the fairways end up softer, then that adds length to it. Now, I mean, it's the direction of the prevailing wind that will impact, you know, how long these holes play. And right now they're saying, you know, the finishing stretch is going to be super dramatic potentially. If there's anybody within three shots of the leader in the finishing stretch, it's a par five, it's a par four that is, you know, that's played as one of the top five hardest holes on the golf course. It's the brand new par three, and then it's another par five. So lots of room for variance in that end of round and end of championship configuration.
Especially with 17, right?
Yes, because that will be, it seems like, most likely into the wind. The two par fives on that backside are both well into the 600-yard range, but everybody's saying they don't play that way because of the wind. But it's a factor of, like, how soft is the golf course going to be in the fairways, and like, how much driver do you expect to see? Do you expect to see guys? I mean, Rory had that 2-iron. The 2-iron is the golf club that he hit from the fairway at the Scottish Open,
yeah,
to win the golf tournament. But, you know, Tiger famously, you know, went around the golf course, a different version of the golf course, with only one driver. But if you're that intimidated by the bunkers, how do you move the ball away from the bunkers with the driver, I guess, is my question to you.
Yeah, I think Scotty and Rory and Rom are going to play a lot of drivers on this course. I think we're going to see a heck of a lot more than we did 10 years ago, and or, you know, 9 years ago, whatever. And I especially for Rory, when you look at the way these holes set up, it just favors a draw, and that is what he does better than anybody in the world. It's interesting, though, that the odds have evened out, and it looks like, at least as I've looked, Scheffler and Rory are now co-favorites. I think our picks must have been you, me, and J-Ray who just fired up the betting action to get people on Scheffler. There's a lot of momentum for Scotty right now.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Rom, because he, to me, is now suddenly the most sort of interesting, and his odds are moving in the other direction. He was like in the 11-1 range. He's now at 12-1.
Yeah.
And what I'm interested in getting your perspective on with John Rom, did we sleep on him at all, as we were slightly dismissive of his potential fortunes at this venue, mainly because he's been sort of quiet since the Masters?
That's the only reason.
Okay, well, that's the only reason. I get it, but it
felt like he had a little bit of a Masters hangover. He sort of had to stay up through the night, the proverbial through the night, to go play Harbortown and play, you know, defend in Mexico, which, again, I thought was a very gentlemanly thing to do, to go back and defend there to keep that tournament relevant. But after that point, he needed some time off, and he kind of played like it coming back in. And there hasn't been the same level of intensity. I'll forgive him for it, but let's see. I don't know. Maybe the Alcaraz win, he says, all right, let's 1-2 it. The Spaniard's got to take all of the championships in the kingdom this summer.
In the UK. Seriously. I love that angle. And I wonder if I'm going to glass half full it with Rom. He needed the rest, and he took the rest. He missed the cut at the Travelers after the U.S. Open, and he needed the rest. He got to go home on that Friday after the U.S. Open, and if you're counting days, that now amounts to, like, you know, more than 3 weeks of rest and time with family, and signing a giant deal with Callaway Topgolf and getting that big equity piece. So part of the thing that I'm wondering aloud, and I want your reaction to, I thought he was, he's always kind of forthcoming and effusive at press conferences, but I like the version of what we got from him at his press conference. He was hilariously the most direct in his support of Jay Monahan.
Yes.
He was the only guy that really was affirmative in terms of, you know, welcoming Jay back and not having lost any trust in Jay, and trusting in Jay and the executive groups stewardship of the tour, right?
Yeah, and those comments put to bed the narrative for the week. I mean, we've seen Eamon Lynch wrote, Monahan's not going to be around for a while, and I think all of us think more akin to what Xander and Spieth said last week, which is unequivocally he's got trust to rebuild. Okay, he clearly does. But part of the reason I feel like Rory bailed out was he just didn't want to have that conversation again. And Rom, listen, Rom's the alpha, man. You can't look at the width of his shoulders and not know, you know, when he directly, he does not mince words. He does not, you know, mealy mouth what he's trying to say. He's unafraid of it. And it just felt like when he sort of dogged at the press and said, not in a confrontational way, but as you said, just unbelievably candid and direct, it really put the story to bed. Not everybody else got asked about it. Rory was able to sort of excuse himself, and it just eased us into the week.
Yeah, Rory's earned the right to not talk about it really ever again if he chooses not to.
Yeah,
if he doesn't want to talk about anything other than how he's playing and what he thinks about a golf course, really for the rest of his life, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
He carried the water for the tour in a way that far surpassed anything that was reasonable. And he was the de facto commissioner, and he did galvanize support. I mean, all of the things that we've talked about many, many, many times about him. If he wants to never talk about this again, then by golly, have at it. That's fine by me.
Yeah.
Rory, you earned it. But with Rom, this version of him made me go back and do a little bit of research because
okay.
it started to build some confidence for me in,
oh boy, here we go.
His fortunes at this thing. And there are two particular attributes that he possesses. Now he does have some high finishes, on links, golf courses and you know, in the Open Championship, but the two things that I particularly found, you know, us to perhaps be missing in our assessment of him, he has no problem putting on slower surfaces. He ranks very well in strokes gained. If you know, cut it and slice it down into green speeds, he's absolutely up there on green speeds that seem to be measuring out akin to what we're anticipating with the slower green speeds that they're reporting at Hoylake. And the other thing with Rom is that he compares extremely favorably long iron wise, you know, for the kinds of shots that we're imagining. If he chooses to play a strategic game and not try and bomb in a manner that pulls the bunkers into play or pulls the out of bounds, we don't really need to harp on. Because it really only matters on two holes, but his strength with the long irons in hand again measures out extremely well. I went back and you know, made some investment in John Rahm this week. I'm here to announce it, Nate Dogg.
Well, I am not surprised based on the way you're talking about it. I mean, look, if we chart his shots gained over the last 3 months, he's down almost a full shot from when he was just firing on all cylinders around Riviera, really. I mean, I'll never forget watching him bound up those steps up the hill into player dining with his family. Couldn't have been brighter and happier. You could just see this guy was going to win the golf tournament. At that point, his like sort of moving average for shots gained was north of three. It was almost 3.2. He's down at this point to 2.25. So I just don't take a whole lot away from that other than he had a really flaming hot stretch of golf. And, you know, it felt like that was somewhat inspired by Scotty and Rory having such a good sort of period of time. He wins the Masters, and I just don't put a whole lot into that decline. But it is relative to, you know, how Scheffler's trending, how Rory's trending, even how guys like Hovland, Hatton, and the way that they're measuring Cam Smith, it is trending in the opposite direction relative to where they are at this moment in time. So I am happy for you that you've put money on Rom. You do this every single major where at the last second you sphincter up and go, wait a minute, I didn't put any money on the guy we're not talking about who's really good, and I understand why you're doing that. He will be bucking the trend relative to other players if he does it. That said, who is the one guy in the world who, when he focuses in, seems to be able to get it done more so than, again, any of the other guys at the top of this field other than maybe Brooks Koepka? I mean, I think our criticism of Scotty is, yeah, his statistics are amazing. Why isn't he winning more tournaments? Well, it's because the putter just has not been good enough. Our criticism of Rory's been, yeah, he's hitting it great. He just, like, he didn't close the U.S. Open. All of us know Rory should have closed that damn thing. Wyndham Clark should not have won the U.S. Open. I mean, not that he didn't deserve. He played fine, but he didn't play so well that Rory McIlroy shouldn't have won. Rory McIlroy should have won the U.S. Open. Okay. So now you step back and say, Jon Rahm definitely being in the category there. He closed the Masters. Can he now, after this lull and relative decline, still peak performer who is in the upper echelon of golf, but can he go head-to-head with these guys and deliver some money for you, House?
Yeah, and to be clear, you know, I only play outright winning in a little bit. My biggest wagers on Rahm are top 10 and top 20. You can check those odds on FanDuel right now. And I also played him in some head-to-heads just to, as a way of diluting the exposure. I played him in head-to-heads against both Rory and Scotty because I have plenty of exposure to both Rory and Scotty across the board. Right. So I wanted a little bit of Rahm, and Rahm's plus odds against both those guys, which, you know, you don't get that opportunity very often. So I was kind of fine with playing it that way. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you will always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Do you have any concern now, having seen some of the pairings? Are you worried about Brooks having to play with Cantlay and the pace? Is there anybody else that maybe got a positive group draw for you?
I don't invest a ton into it. I think it's an absolutely magnificent sense of humor that the RNA has shown us here. And maybe this is their way of trying to light a fire under Cantlay. I don't think it has anything to do necessarily. I think Brooks can be, you know, unperturbed if he's able to sort of prepare himself. And I think it's one of the lessons that he learned, you know, he shared with us in his bit on Full Swing about playing, you know, major golf and how, you know, some of the psychological stuff. He clearly was bothered by the pace of play of J.B. Holmes, the Open Championship, you know, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly was affected by the mind games that Phil Mickelson, the slow roll that Phil Mickelson put on him. But I think he, Brooks, has said, those are learning experiences for me. I intend to be, you know, an uber champion. And so what I do is I file that stuff away. I process it. I do love it for the purposes of Koepka, but I don't think, you know, the only, what I'm more interested in is whether or not there are advantages to one side of the draw versus the other timing wise. It does seem like, as far as the weather goes, the guys that are going early, late might have a tiny bit of an advantage, just in terms of some weather changing over the course of Thursday into Thursday afternoon and overnight into early part of Friday. So if you're off the first half of Thursday and then you're able to go out the latter part of the day on Friday, it seems the weather might have a little bit of an advantage.
So that might favor Scotty, Fleetwood, Cam Smith, Xander, Ricky, Lowry, those kinds of guys.
Yes, exactly. Guys that we were kind of already on anyhow. And then by contradistinction, the guys that get disadvantaged if you subscribe to that early, late wave concept.
Rory and Rahm, Morikawa, Hatton, Phil Mickelson, who you think is going to miss the cut. I'll say this to you, House. I really love this Morikawa, Homa, Hatton pairing. Listening to Morikawa talk about it, he was like giddy. He'd said he'd been at lunch with his caddy talking about how excited he was to not just play with Max, who obviously they've got the Cal connection, but he said he really enjoys playing with Tyrrell Hatton because even for the attitude, his signal was Hatton plays fast. And Hatton actually respects the guys that he's playing with. So that group is going to move at the pace that they all like to play, which, you know, they're literally going to be behind Rory, Rahm, and Rose. So those aren't exactly slow players either. So you could see on that side of the draw, it moving well. I just, Morikawa's odds are really tasty, House. And those, one of those three guys is going to make some noise this week, I think.
Well, Hatton would be the low-hanging fruit in terms of that because of his very accomplished, you know, links golf, European golf. You know, his Dunhill record is outstanding. And, you know, he's built up a nice body of work. But we went through this with Justin Ray. I'm on Morikawa, and I have, like, a lot of exposure to him. It is, you know, in that category of, like...
28-1.
Yeah, if he's in that neighborhood, you have to have something on him because the ball striking is always so good. And if you take the performance in Detroit and say that's indicative of, that's reflective
that's
of
where he is.
Him turning a corner, right?
I completely agree. And if we now think these greens are going to be soft and it's going to be a little wet, and boy, that's reminiscent of tournaments that Morikawa has won before because he can stick the ball next to the hole. His putter becomes less of an Achilles heel. And, you know, again, I think very quietly, Justin Ray loudly made the case that Morikawa quietly has rounded into form here in the last month. And we weren't paying great attention. And it looks like the odds makers, at least the bettors, are not giving him the same credit that you otherwise should. I mean, this is a defending champion. This is one of the best ball strikers, period, on tour, and Cantlay's got much, much better, you know, lower odds than Morikawa.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at some of the prop stuff. You know, it's a par 71.
What head-to-heads can we get on FanDuel, House?
Yeah, well, he is a decent play. We'll check some of those out here in a moment, but I like him, you know, on a par 71. Shooting one under par. If he shoots one under par in round one, that's available right now at even odds. Okay. You have to pay significant juice for him to shoot par or worse. Now, that could be a function of what we're talking about in terms of this weather thing, but it doesn't feel very pronounced, the weather discrepancy. And again, all of this can change in a matter of like 6 hour increments. So it could be really bad by the time he gets out there. But, you know, for now, I'm kind of satisfied with, you know, a little bit of speculation on things that portend well of Colin Morikawa. I mean, the matchups that you can find for him are Dustin Johnson. He is a small favorite over DJ. He's -120 over DJ. And that is both for the first round and for the tournament, I believe. I think you can get him. Well, all of these matchups. Okay, so the matchups that you can find on FanDuel right this second look like they're all against Dustin Johnson in a variety of ways. But, you know, small favorite over DJ, which feels fine to me.
Yeah. Yeah, to me too.
Well, Nate, as is our way here on Fairway Rolling, we like to have a little bit of combination action. We got a couple parlays that I pulled together here for our good friends at FanDuel. And speaking of Colin Morikawa, now sometimes it's better to just keep things simple. So one of the things that I did was a very basic three-leg make the cut parlay. I'm just looking for a plus odds payout on this because you have to really, you know, put five or six guys together if you're looking for a bigger payout. And you can play it that way. It's fun. I've done it many, many, many times on this podcast and also in real life. But the one that I have this week, it's pretty modest. It's a plus 150 payout. You have pair up Colin Morikawa, who's -340 to make the cut, alongside Xander, who has a great track record, both at majors in general. He's only missed two cuts in like the last 20-some majors, but also very good at the Open Championship in terms of just basically the proposition of making the cut. And then I wanted somebody that was going to help me odds-wise, and I went down the board. I have New Zealand's own Ryan Fox contributing to this three-legged parlay. Very nice performance at the Scottish Open, top 20, I believe. And then I love the fact that he is the defending champion of the Alfred Dunhill Lynx challenge from the fall on the DP World Tour. Quietly, Ryan Fox, a strong Lynx player. So if you combine those three for a three-way make the cut parlay, that payout is plus 150. Do you endorse this, Nate? I mean, it's fine if you don't. If you want to yell at me, I'm willing to listen.
No, you're really just asking, am I all in on Ryan Fox making the cut this week? And I think what we explored,
if you really
look through these, there is some chum in the water in this tournament this week. So I really expect that Ryan Fox is going to make the cut, given there are a lot of pretenders in the field this week.
Well, I am taking a similar kind of soft waffling approach to my finishing position parlay. This is a three-legger, and I just went as chalk as I could get and as I could stomach. We're only coming up with 3-1 odds on this one because I went so chalk on it. Okay. I have Scotty finishing in the top 10. I have Rory finishing in the top 20, and I have Tommy Fleetwood, who has enormous experience at this venue, top 30. That's the way I played it, Nate Dogg. Scheffler top 10, Rory top 20, Fleetwood top 30. That payout is over 3-1 odds. It's plus 304. That feels like a nice way to, you know, nice middle of the summer kind of bankroll addition. Do you get what I'm feeling here?
Who do you think you're going to be sweating in that threesome?
Maybe. And I, you know, have all of my exposure to this guy already, Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty is the one that I feel least confident about.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I do. I think Tommy Fleetwood is going to have no problem backdooring your top 30. He's wearing cardigans. He's flushing the ball. He's playing, you know, he's playing with ball strikers. It's going to be great. I think Rory has a top 20 in him this week. There's no doubt he's in form. And I think it's just is Scotty gonna suddenly in a major break the streak and then have us all talking about, hey, why isn't he closing even though he won the Players?
Yeah, and well, not only that, but he's just collecting top fives in the other majors. Now, he didn't finish in the top five at the Masters, but he did.
It'll be a bullshit, but it's going to be something for us to talk about. But isn't it funny that if the guy finishes lower than 12th, we're going to make it like it's a problem?
And the big reveal of this week as it relates to Scottie Scheffler is how close the run that he's been on in terms of his strokes gain is putting him in Tiger territory.
Yeah.
He's legit within, a couple of decimal points of Tiger in a bunch of those different categories. It's a really amazing run. You talked about it on the show on Sunday with Jay Ray, literally unprecedented except for the precedent of Tiger Woods, right?
Well, it's unprecedented that no one has ever struck the ball this well and putted this poorly. It's like if you mashed up Tiger and me and put him in a golfer, that's Scotty right now. So he's gonna break out of this. As I alluded to, I think he's had some things going on in the background that he is at the sort of edge of the forest of, which on his way out, not going in. And I think you're going to be just fine with Scotty this week. Does it change the way you think about the winner? Is Scotty still your pick, or did you waffle and go back to Rom?
Oh, I wouldn't say that I waffled. I mean, I have exposure in a lot of different areas. I have, $25 on Minwoo Lee. Like, I get exotic out there a little bit, Nate Dogg. But I mean, my view on who will win remains Scottie Scheffler. Okay. I wanted to make sure that I had, I have some money on Colin Morikawa to win this golf tournament.
You should.
I have, I added in, I had a small bet on Cam Smith to defend. I mean, the odds aren't great, but the story is decent. So, this is not a Cam Smith kind of golf course. That is also one of the things that can emerge from the research and the numbers. This is not his style. He's better when he can hit the ball anywhere. And then kind of recover. That's his strong suit. But I want to make sure I had a tiny bit of exposure to the defending champion, especially off of his recent LIV victory. I mean, you got to take that very seriously, Nate Dogg. But speaking of taking things seriously, we shall be convened as soon as the claret jug is in the hands of perhaps our new Open champion, or maybe it'll be a repeat in Cam Smith's hands. The Nate Dogg and I will be together Sunday. The show probably be up a little bit earlier because the tournament should be over midday. And, of course, our good friends at FanDuel TV, we will be on TV giving the recap. That should be up Monday morning. But my birdie buddies, my par-saving pals, this is wonderful for us here in the States. The Open Championship is the best. Wake up, have a little coffee, watch the guys out there moving around this thing in their long clothes, and then put your shorts on and go grab a wonderful afternoon round. And if you need an E9 at the end of it, play 27. It's light out till 8:30, 8:45 at night here in the States. A great time to be a lover of the game of golf. That's it, my birdie buddies, my par-saving pals, my eagle enthusiasts. Our thanks, as always, to our producer, Eduardo Ocampo, and to the Nate Dogg. We will see you on Sunday. In the meantime, get a peg in the ground. Please hit him straight up there.